New music right there from Damien Jurado, one of my old favorites, who happens to be the cover artist on the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. And a new issue means that Dave Obenauer, the editor of the magazine, once again joins us in the studio to share new and interesting tunes, what has been catching the collective ear of the Ghetto Blaster staff. Welcome back, Dave. So happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure. So I was super excited because I've been following Damien Jurado for a long time. What prompted you to choose him as the cover artist for this new issue?
Well, yeah, he's definitely been a name that's been around for a while, name that I've been listening to like since before college, which is getting a little longer back than I care to remember. Damien Jurado, it's really interesting, too, to see how he's kind of reinvented himself later in his career now. He's been working with, I think it's Richard Swift, as a producer on the last, like, three or four albums. And just what that's brought out of him, kind of this, like, airy sort of psychedelic feel. Because his early albums was just a lot more straightforward, him and the guitar type stuff. But the later stuff, we've been getting more of what you heard there on that song.
And it's really kind of cool because it's taking what made him great as a songwriter and really kind of layering it up and adding a whole new dimension to his already very interesting, complex writing.
Yeah, it's really interesting, too. He talks about how, like, the Beatles, you know, they weren't that great of a live band necessarily, and it was more of like a studio band. And this idea of like partnering with the right producers and getting those sound that you want, and it's interesting. I think like a lot of times, or for some bands, like you get your Steve Albini's or whatever, who have a sound to it, but it's like they just want the raw sound, like they aren't embellishing and adding upon it. So it's interesting when you get an artist like Damien Jurado where it's definitely more of a collaboration.
Definitely. And somebody like Richard Swift, a musician in his own right, and has kind of also gone through that interesting evolution, or has that duality of being songwriter guy with guitar, but also interesting layered, you know, has that kind of psychedelic-y element to him as well.
I always feel like it's the hardest to be an interesting singer-songwriter. Like, if you're just a guy with a guitar, like, it seems like so much stacked up against you already. I remember Wooden Wand, remember that band?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, he started out super weird, and it was really awesome. And then, like, I got to interview him back for Devil in the Woods, back when that was in publication. But he's like, I don't want to be known as the freak folk guy, you know, who was off doing acid and all this stuff. Like, I want to be the next sort of Bob Dylan type. And he tried. But, like, it just kind of, to me at least, it sucked out all of the interesting things that were going on. And then it was just him and a guitar. And it's really bare at that point, and you either sink or swim pretty quickly in that equation.
Yeah, and you know, with the rise of bands like Tame Impala, who are really taking that sort of new psychedelic sound, it's very, I don't want to say it's super trendy because it's still not, but there's definitely a renewed appreciation for that type of production work, I think, right now.
And it's interesting how that kind of comes in waves, too, because I can remember just going back to my college days, just like Brian Jonestown Massacre,
right.
How that was the big thing. And then like all of Anton Newcomb's discarded band members and the bands that they would start. And that practically spawned an entire scene all of its own.
It's kind of a genre unto itself.
Anton's cast off.
Yes. So we've got Damien Jurado on the cover, and you've got, as usual, a wide array of folks that you've brought for us. Some familiar artists, some artists I'm super excited about, and some new introductions to the show. And the next one we're going to hear is from Autolux. Tell me about what's up with them.
Yeah, Autolux it's a very interesting band. Chris Poland, who's one of our senior writers, whatever that means, with Ghetto Blaster. But he's been writing for us for a long time, and he's been a big fan of theirs. But it's just, it's sort of an interesting, they bounced around from a bunch of different labels. They were on a major to start, and that didn't work out. They kicked it to the indies. But then for this new one, they've signed to Columbia, which now is being A&R'd by Danger Mouse. So it's interesting to kind of see, like, the return to a major as a positive step. But I mean, just as far as the band's sound, it's always this kind of, I don't know, just interesting sort of dark mix with psychedelic tinges to it. A little different than the Tame Impala, a little less like West Coast, maybe a little more East Coast sort of, you know, Lower East Side sound.
Brooding.
Yeah.
Brooding,
yeah,
psychedelic.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, let's take a listen to this one from Autolux.
Down.
Music right there from Frightened Rabbit. That was Get Out. And we had Tortoise before that, both artists featured in the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. Editor Dave Obenauer is in the house. So Frightened Rabbit and Tortoise, two bands that I love that have been around for a little bit. They've put their time in and they've got some new offerings. What caught your ear about these two, or what inspired you to include them in this issue?
Well, absolutely. Like, we were joking about it a little bit with Tortoise. They're such a great band. They're just an old staple of the Chicago scene. Just a bunch of people who've gone on to do a bunch of other different projects, too. But Tortoise is still one of the most celebrated things from all of them. But just looking at the interview, it's not the most interesting interview. I mean, I don't want to hard sell the issue too much. But, I mean, no, it's just they've been doing it for a long time. And, you know, each time it's like a variation on it. But, you know, people are getting older. People are getting into their, you know, 50s at this point, and it becomes harder to, you know, navigate all the different schedules and families and things like that for them to get together still. But I don't know. I still think every time they put out a record, it's always a cause of some celebration. So I definitely wanted to shine a light on that.
For sure, for sure. And Frightened Rabbit, a band that I feel like has enjoyed a good bit of attention over the years, kind of off and on, interestingly. What about this one really got to you?
Well, I've always really loved Fat Cat as a record label, and they were, I think, the first home to Frightened Rabbit, or at least the first larger label home to it. But yeah, no, they've since moved on to, I believe, Atlantic, another major label signing. But yeah, I've just always liked, it's interesting how they take that very, very sad Scottish mentality, but kind of channel it into a more poppy aspect. It's not, you know, an Arab strap where you're just kind of wallowing in the mire of it all. But, you know, you get that lyrically, but you get a little more pop to it. It's interesting, too. He said that people always think he's this sad medieval, are you allowed to say a child without a parent?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a sad medieval bastard.
Very nice wordsmithing around that initially, yeah.
But he's like, no, I kind of channel this all into the music, so I don't have to be that way in real life. So maybe the guys in Arab Strap are like the pleasant, most happy people out there. Who knows?
Yeah, it's funny, too, because Frightened Rabbit, it's only sad if you're like truly, truly paying attention.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things where you can listen to it and be like, oh, this is this nice, like, airy pop song. And then if you're really like digging in and listening closely, you're like, ooh, there's something a little dark happening here.
Yeah, it's definitely like the same way with the Mountain Goats. Like, mm-hmm. I remember some of that earlier stuff. Like, you just listen to it and it's upbeat and it's poppy and it's all lo-fi recording, so it's a little muddled too. But like, when you actually like spend some time with it and listen to what's being said, you're like, oh.
Yeah,
ooh,
Mountain Goats,
okay.
Doubly so, I think. Well, next, let's see, who are we going to next? Messenger?
Yeah. We've got two bands in this block that are from a label out in California called Burger. But I've just started directly contacting them more because they've had some great artists on it, and I wanted to be sure to get on that radar. But there were lots of different artists that they put out that were interesting, but these were the two that caught my ear most, Massinger and Tracy Bryant. But I think that's one of the things that I like the most about this issue. There's a lot of smaller bands in this this time around, bands that you may not have heard of that were really exciting. Like, I ended up, I think, doing like 5 interviews in this issue, which I wasn't happy about because I'm a very lazy person. But it was just like, well, people didn't volunteer for them, but I want to see it covered, so
yeah.
I guess I'm going to have to do it. But yeah, there's a lot of really good smaller bands in there, and Massinger is one of those. They've got kind of this like Riot Girl edge to them. It was interesting. I think it's a brother-sister kind of like leading the band, and they were saying when they recorded it, they moved into their mom's house that was in foreclosure, and like she had just died of cancer. And so it's another element of this, like, very, like, if you listen to the lyrics, But like the music itself is very kind of uplifting and poppy too. So it's an interesting balance.
Well, let's take a listen to that one right now. Here's Massinger doing Tread.
Tread, tread, tread lightlier. Then you think you should.
Tracy Bryant with Subterranean. We had Washington Beach Bums before that with that one called Liquorland.
Yes,
what a great song title. I love it. Those artists are featured in the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. And Dave Obenauer is here in the studio. He's the editor. And from time to time, we get together and chat about new music. Well, from time to time when your new issue is out, as it so happens. So we talked about Tracy Bryan a little bit, but let's talk about Washington Beach Bums. Great tune. What about them drew you to them?
Yeah, they actually opened a show at Blind Bob's for the Motel Beds, I believe. And, like, it was just such a high energy, just good party time band. And then just the more I learned about them, the more I really loved it. It seems like when you and your friends are goofing around and tossing out stupid ideas about what you'd like to do, they're actually doing it. Like, the new album is just ripping off the Eagles in its art, and it's pretty incredible. But yeah, no, I think the Liquorland has a really great line in it that I want to dance in a bourbon fountain. But yeah,
not everybody can pull that off, but, you know, it's like when you commit to it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're just great. And it's Kyle Sowash plays saxophone in it. So I kind of knew him through that. He's a guy over in Columbus, has been in the Sowash's, his band for ages now, and books a lot of different clubs out there. So he's definitely a fixture. And it's kind of, I guess, a revolving lineup of people who can come in. But it's, I don't know. I have a fantasy of trying to throw a big mini festival at the Yellow Cab with Night Beast and Washington Beach Bums. And maybe like two or three other bands, just like a summer party, like get some kiddie pools and put them out in the blacktop.
Yes. And there needs to be, okay, we need to either locate or someone needs to create like a slushy machine food truck for
Ooh.
This.
Well, there's that one, that Kona Ice or whatever.
Yeah, see,
that
there
comes
you go.
Out.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. See, you said it on the radio. It has to happen now.
Oh,
I'm going to
no.
hold you to that.
Oh, no.
Nick Testa, if you're listening. But you're right, like total like fun time kind of party and very summery band, I have to say.
Yeah.
It just felt like, you know, summer's hanging out.
It's interesting too, like I felt like a couple of the songs on the album did like throwing back to that Brian Jonestown like early psychedelic sound. So I mean, even though it is just kind of good fun times party bands, there's actually a lot going on mm-hmm. there with gives a good replay value. It's not like a, you know, a comedy album where you listen to it two or three times and you're like, that was fun. Let's take
Let's
this
put
down
it away
to Omega.
For 10 years. Bring it out on a rainy day and hope you don't remember all of it. Well, so up next, we've got a really great set, some stuff I'm excited about. We'll hear from Primal Scream, who we'll talk about here in a little bit. And we'll also hear from RJD2, who I'm so excited to hear. But we're going to start off with Santigold, who I love. What about this release?
That was actually it was a cover consideration. We had the coolest concept for this. Our photographer out in New York, who's much better than we are, Beowulf Sheehan, was going to do it's a famous painting. I want to say it's The Narcissist or something. It's a lady kneeling down and looking into her own reflection in the pond. I forget the name of that painting. But he even went out to Lowe's and he bought like a whole bag of dirt that he was going to put in his studio to mimic that painting. And then the night before, like, she had had this awful flu and her husband was away and she was in there stuck in her apartment with her new baby. And this is also like a snowstorm had hit. So pretty much everything horrible
Perfect
happened.
Perfect storm of...
And, but I mean, I'm super glad with Damien Girado too. But yeah, Santigold, she's really, really interesting. Like, I think a lot of times we see these big pop or hip hop stars and just write it off as just like, oh, it's bubblegum, it's whatever. And she's kind of playing with that in an interesting way, this whole like narcissistic taking a picture of yourself at all times, but also you're taking a picture of yourself, so you're kind of marketing yourself. You're sorting through five pictures that you've taken to get the best one. So she's playing with that a little. But just to go back, it's I had a friend, we were watching the Super Bowl and Beyonce was on, and he was just lambasting her about how, like, she's just whatever, it's meaningless pop. And it's like, it's not meaningless at all. She writes all of her own songs. And I think after the Super Bowl, it was definitely proven that she's not afraid to take a stand and mean something. So I think just a lot of times us in the indie community, if it's anywhere remotely popular, it's just like, well, that's just, you know, Doritos commercial fodder.
It's an easy trap to fall into, having fallen in that trap before, but it's such a limiting trap to fall into, which is, it's a shame that we find ourselves in that.
No one's that simple. And the other thing is, you know what? So what? If somebody likes Justin Bieber singing somebody else's song, that's great. Whatever makes you happy, who cares? Music is it can be an escape. And if you're enjoying that escape, like, don't crap on other people's, you know, escape. Like, it's fine. It's what they like.
Music is supposed to be fun. I have to say, on the topic of Santa Gold, I actually had to Google it really fast because I'm going to put it on the Facebook page. I got turned on to her from the Dinner Party Download podcast, and she did – they do this thing where they invite artists to do their own dinner party soundtrack, and she had such an amazing soundtrack. I was just like, I would go to her party. Like, this is awesome.
Well, yeah. I'm glad you opened up that segue, too, because it reminded me that, like, she grew up in a punk band, and, like, she would tour with Bad Brains, and, like, that was a huge influence on her. And part of that was, like – her learning what a strong black female musician could be, and just like not to be pigeonholed, and just all the different ways that she could represent herself as an artist. And Kyle Eustace did this interview for us, and she actually was friends with the manager, which is fortunate because I think Santi Gold, we might be punching a little bit above our weight there on that feature. But no, it's a great feature. She's very, very interesting, and Kyle did a great job with that interview.
Well, let's take a listen to this one from Santi Gold. We're going to hear some RJD2 and Primal Scream as well. And stick around, because when we come back, we'll have your chance to win your very own copy of the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. But first, listen to this one.
Trouble, you know. Transformation, transgression.
We're second wave actors.
The script is predestined.
It's not a sin. Peace begins within.
Music right there from Primal Scream. It's called Where the Light Gets In. And I admit, I was dancing along to that here in the studio. It's all good. We had RJD2 before that with We Come Alive. Both artists featured in the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. Dave Obenauer, the editor, is in the studio. So RJD2, I love. Always happy to hear new stuff coming from him.
Yeah, he's back in Columbus, too, so I'm really hoping that means we get a new Soul Position album from him and Blueprint sometime in the near future. That'd be pretty incredible.
That would be wonderful, yeah. In fact.
Hey, he relocated to Philadelphia for a while, and I think you totally get that. Like, there was definitely a big soul bent to what he was doing right there. I don't know. It's definitely exciting to have him back. I know he was saying he was from Philadelphia from a while, and it's like, no, you're from Columbus. So now he's back here, so we can claim him as our
own. We can
own
claim
once
him
again.
as of Ohio once more. And that Primal Scream was great. And they're another one of those bands that kind of pops up every once in a while, you know, is gone for a while and then back with a vengeance.
I definitely, you know, I think it's some of these like older bands. And I don't know. I don't know how rich Bobby Gillespie is. I'm trying to hazard a guess on that. I mean, he started out with the Jesus and Mary Chain for a while, and then Primal Scream, and Primal Scream has been around for forever. But I get the feeling like, you know, definitely not to the level of like a Noel or Liam Gallagher, but I think it's kind of this like, you know, English royalty sitting on their money from previous albums, and it's like, we'll get around to an album when we do. But I don't know. I was really excited with this Primal Scream record. Initially, I think I just kind of assigned it because it's like, well, it's Primal Scream. It's a new Primal Scream. That's, you know,
right.
The same way with Tortoise. It's a concert celebration in and of itself. They always reinvent themselves, and I think on some of the more recent past albums, it hasn't worked as well. But that new track, it has a new pop singer, Sky Fiera, which is dangerously close to Fieri. They got her to duet with it, and it's an awesome song. I was dancing along to it as well. So
you're listening to Kaleidoscope here on Member Supported 91.3 WYSO Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and online at WYSO.org. WYSO is a community service of Antioch College for the Miami Valley and beyond. And we are talking about new music with Dave Obenauer from Ghetto Blaster magazine. And we're going to go into another set of tunes. But as we do so, we have your chance to win your very own copy of the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster with Damian Jurado on the cover. If you are the, what number do we want to do?
Third and fifth.
Third and fifth. All right. If you are the third and fifth callers, third or fifth, rather. You don't have to be both at once, because that would be a little odd. If you are the third or fifth caller at 937-769-1998, that's 937-769-1998. Third and fifth caller win copies of the new issue of Ghetto Blaster. And as folks get to their phones, they're going to be hearing Mind Spiders. Tell me a little bit about them. I'm not as familiar.
Mind Spiders, it's a pop punk band. And I want to say I may have played one of their songs earlier on. Like, I forget when we started doing this, but I think I may have brought it out.
Okay.
He was in another band from Texas called the Marked Men, and this was kind of a side project where he just kind of picked up an analog synthesizer and was like, "Well, I'm just going to tool around on this." And it's so disgusting. I'm just going to tool around on this, and I listened to it. I'm like, "This is incredible."
Would that we could all do that.
Yeah.
I'm just
going to
play this now.
But yeah. Yeah, no, it seems like he just keeps picking up new hardware as they go into different albums and trying to experiment and do things with that. So, yeah.
Well, let's take a listen to this one from Mind Spiders, and we're going to get to those phones here in just a second to get our winners. This is Kaleidoscope on WISO.
We'll be right back.
music right there from Red Dawn's. Before that, we had the Thermals, who I love, and Mind Spiders started us off, all three artists featured in the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. And a big congratulations to Nathan from Tip City and Taylor from Middletown, who scored their very own copies of the latest issue. We've got Dave Obenauer, editor of Ghetto Blaster, in the house. And so let's talk about these three. We talked about Mind Spiders a little bit, but Red Dawn's, that was a rockin' song. I really liked that one.
I actually did this interview myself, and I was very, very nervous about it because they are a very political band, and it's not that I agree or disagree with what they say. It's just I've never really paid a lot of attention to their lyrics. It's punk. It's fast. It's not that it's – I don't know. It's kind of hard to understand, and I've just never paid attention, and they're – you know, it's also punk, so it comes on very limited – with limited liner notes and things like that, very small print and stuff like that. So in the interview, I admit, like – hey, I hope you don't take this as insulting, but I don't really know a lot about what you're singing about. Do you think there's a place for that too? Or do you want people to be more involved with your lyrics? And I was really, really encouraged with the response back that, like, one of the guys had a really interesting point talking about how Gulliver's Travels back in the day was very much like a reflection of the times and the political structure back then, but now we can read it as a children's book and it works like on multiple levels. And he's like, I think it's kind of short-sighted to think music can't be that way too. And just this idea of like, yeah, if you want to come to a punk show and you like our music, that's cool. There's totally a spot for you here.
Oh, that's really cool. That is very, very heartening to hear. And I guess, you know, we're seeing that somewhat with some of the older folk songs, you know, that granted it still, I think, have a lot of political meaning, but were very of their time and very politically charged, that are now, you know, more common culturally and can be viewed without that sort of veil of politics.
If you get outside of verse one of This Land Is Your Land.
Yeah. I was thinking along those lines. Yes, exactly.
But yeah, and the thing that made that more even nerve-wracking was it was an email interview. So I just fired it off and I'm like, man, I hope they don't hate me.
That does have to be tricky, you know, because I feel like I'm very fortunate that, you know, that email interviews are not part of my world by virtue of, you know, being on this microphone. So you get, you know, tone and inflection and all that good stuff, even when we're on the phone. But that's got to be nerve-wracking, especially with a topic like that, for you to be doing it in the absence of inflection and tone and all of that.
People can be a lot snarkier in the written word. And then I think they even would actually come off in real life. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just this, you know, you're not having a conversation with someone, you're not engaging and realizing, like, oh, well, kind of sound like a jerk if I say that. but sometimes it's interesting. Sometimes people are much better written than they are spoken. Mm-hmm. Like, I know we did a Silver Jews interview, and we did that over email, and that worked really well. And this time, like, I felt so bad. It's only, the Red Dawn's is just a full-page interview, which is like 800 words, but they probably gave me 4,000.
Wow.
And I was just like, whoa, thanks, guys. I'm going to use like maybe a 16th of this or something.
The plight of the editor. Well, moving into, let's see, are we doing heavy stuff now?
Yeah.
Is that where we're going?
We're going to a dark place,
we're
Julia.
We're going to a dark place. All right. So where are we going? What are we? We're going dark. Tell me. Help me navigate through this,
all right,
this path.
So part of Ghetto Blaster, we do indie rock, we do hip hop, but we also do metal, because metal bands give the greatest interviews ever. You have not read a band interview until you've read a metal interview. And I really appreciate the genre too. But we've got three bands that we're going to be featuring. And even if metal's not your thing, I challenge you to stick it out. They each offer something different. The first band we're going to hear from, Black Tusk, they've got kind of a southern metal vibe to it. And I think you can kind of hear some gospel inflections within that. After that, there's Black Cobra, sticking with the black.
Staying dark.
but they're actually a duo, and it's just kind of interesting when they're a duo. They've just been out there for a while. They know each other, and they experiment with a lot of what they can do. Actually, the name of the album, which don't ask me what it is because I can't remember, but it's taken from a Philip K. Dick sci-fi novel.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, like, it's not just, you know, thrashy. It is thrashy, but it's not just thrashy. And then the final band is Destroyer 666, which I think you summed it up. It sounds like it's straight out of Metalocalypse, and you are not wrong. To use a wrestling term, I'm not sure if it's kayfabe or not. Like, how much of this personality is real, and how much of it are they just giving us? But, I mean, these guys, they seem very militant about it being real and very, you know, death to false metal type people. So it's an interesting block.
Well, let's take a listen to this right now. We're going to start off with Black Tusk here on Kaleidoscope on WISO.
Fire, the God, the heart, the God, the light, the way,
Little Black of Metal right there. Got through the dark stuff. Here on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WISO. We're talking with Dave Obenauer, the editor of Ghetto Blaster magazine, about the music that he and his crew have been covering in their latest issue. But it's not just music. Like, there's much more. Tell us about some of the non-musical offerings you have this issue.
That's right. One of the things I was really excited about, I was fortunate enough to get to talk to Ian Roberts, one of the original UCB 4. They have a new show on NBC's new internet comedy subscription site called The UCB Show. And it's just them taking the best improv groups, stand-up groups, skit groups, and having just basically a highlight tape of some of what they've got going on their theaters in New York and L.A. So it was really cool, just a chance to kind of pick his mind. It's just interesting to see how that UCB troupe started off as just, you know, their own thing, and then it just spiraled into this school that they're all... I mean, they're pretty hands-off with it, too. I think Matt Besser is the one that's most involved with it still. But just how it's kind of raised up a whole new generation of comedians, too. Like, I know Aziz Ansari got a start there, and I'm kind of blanking on everyone else, but a lot of famous people have come through that school.
For sure, for sure. And related to kind of the comedy world, you also got to talk to Jimmy Pardo.
I know.
That's so cool.
I love it. Jimmy Pardo is definitely one of my favorites. And he's come through Wiley's a couple times. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if he does that before the end of the year here. But yeah, he's just a super quick-witted comedian. He is also the warm-up guy on Conan's show for TBS. Sometimes he'll do on-air segments there as well. But just a delightful human being. It's interesting to see because he does a lot of crowd work with his comedy, which can get biting. But he's just such a good-natured guy that even when it is kind of slightly put downy, like there's always a level of self-deprecation that comes with it too that takes away any venom. But it was just interesting talking to him about that too, because I think he's like 16 years sober, and like back in the early days he's like, oh yeah, no, that wasn't me. I was 0 to 60 and I would just go off on people for no reason. So yeah, it was a really interesting interview.
And in addition to the comedy offerings, you guys are covering gaming as usual, film, books. The gaming stuff is always interesting. I know you mix video games as well as tabletop games. And remind me, is the addition of the tabletop games, that's kind of newer, right?
It's newer-ish. I'd want to say that we've probably been covering, at least on the website, we've been covering games for a while now. But in the magazine, that started maybe 3 years ago.
Okay.
But yeah, no, basically what we try to do is alternate the features. So if we're doing a video game feature like we did in this time where we featured XCOM 2, next issue we'll do a board game, most likely. I mean, as long as in an ideal world, that's what happens.
That's the plan. the air quotes plan.
But the other really exciting non-music thing in there, for the comic book feature, we got to do something on Lucha Underground, which is a wrestling show on El Rey Network, which is Robert Rodriguez's network. But it's this amazing, like, wrestling's fake, so let's just go with it. Like a telenovela, and these luchadors are fighting for gauntlets of the gods and amulets of immortality and all this thing. And what they've done to bridge the story arcs between season 1 and 2 is they've released these 4 digital comic books, which is it's great. I mean, what goes hand in hand better than comics and wrestling?
Right, yeah.
So yeah, we got a chance to talk to those guys who are also involved in the production of the show too, so that was a really, really cool interview to get.
Very nice, very nice. We've got a couple more songs to do, and this next one I'm kind of excited about because I've heard tell of this album, but I have not gotten to hear it yet. The John Benjamin piano extravaganza experiment. What are we going to call this?
We were fortunate enough to get to talk to him a couple issues ago for Bob's Burgers and Archer. He does the voice of Archer and Bob in those series. You may also know him as Coach McGurk from Home Movies. But yeah, so we weren't able to go back, or it just seemed a little soon to go back as a quarterly magazine to him. But he did an album for Sub Pop. It's him with a bunch of very well-respected jazz studio musicians, and they'll play through these songs. They do some standards too, and John plays piano. The catch being, John can't play piano.
Well, let's take a listen to this one, and we'll come back with one more. This is Kaleidoscope on YSO. Got away, John Benjamin. We are talking about the one that didn't make it in issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. We've covered John Benjamin before, as you mentioned. I'm Juliet Brumhold, and we've been talking to Dave Obenauer. He is the editor of Ghetto Blaster. The new issue is out now. Where can folks pick it up locally?
You can get it at Omega Music and Ghostlight in Dayton, as well as at Urban Handmade here in Yellow Springs and Used Kids in Columbus. We're also at some larger chains, too, Barnes & Nobles. If it's not there, berate them. Say it should be. What's wrong with you? This is the greatest magazine ever.
Exactly like that. Write it down.
Because I'm sure that, you know, Clerk has complete final say on what magazine comes to that store, and he needs to be told.
And, of course, the website constantly being updated in between issues, all kinds of good stuff there as well.
Yeah, it's been great. We actually have a new guy online, Brian LeBen, who's been posting Future Sounds, which happens on Fridays. And it's him kind of looking forward at some of the stuff coming out, as well as a Monday Rewind, where he looks back at the albums. Because Friday's now the release date,
right,
primarily. So he kind of gets some highlights from that. So those have been some awesome features that have been going on. Tim just had a baby, which is awesome. Congratulations to Tim. And he's taken some well-deserved kind of easing back his responsibilities. And the rest of us are picking it up a little. I've gotten a couple new game reviews up there. And I think there are a couple game reviews still in the can that we're kind of going to be rolling out over the next few weeks. So plenty of stuff other than just music. Lots of music coverage there as well, too.
Wonderful. Check out the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. It's out now. Damien Jurado is on the cover. And before Dave leaves us, we've got one more check to play for you from Half Japanese. You want to tell us a little bit about this one?
Yeah, Half Japanese is a really interesting band if you followed it. It's Jod Fair and sometimes his brother as well. But normally he'll collaborate with a lot of different artists. I kind of found out about him through an album he did with Teenage Fan Club. But I think he's also worked with, it wasn't Sonic Youth, but it was another 90s sort of post-rock band. Just very upbeat, positive type music that it's just interesting, even in his visual art, to see how it's kind of started out from this simple place, maybe a place where a lot of people could do that, but he's kind of honed that into a style. Kind of in the same way, if you look at some early Robert Pollard collages, maybe those aren't the greatest, but if you look at them now, like, it can legitimately go, you know, in galleries around. And I think that Jod Fair has kind of done a similar thing with his artwork as well as his music too. So yeah, he did the What's on Deck in this issue, which is just him talking about the things he's currently digging. He lists a couple of different bands and TV shows. It's kind of an interesting insight into his world.
We're going to take a listen to that one. But of course, Dave, thank you so much for being here. It's such a pleasure to catch
up
with you.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Let's take a listen to this one from Half Japanese. And be sure to check out the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. We've got links to them and some info about some of the stuff we've talked about tonight on our Facebook page, facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio.
We'll stand up.